Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. On the line once again, I've got Dan McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. Welcome back to the show. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me back.
Very happy to have you here, and a very important piece that you wrote that we're running on the blog at antiwar.com this week, Al-Qaeda Allies to Represent Opposition in upcoming Syria peace talks. And I got one more headline for you here, which is, where'd it go? Kerry lowers expectations as Russia vows Syria talks will start on time. And Kerry says there will be no direct meetings during the first round of talks. So I guess my first question for you is, could you explain who all is meeting and particularly which all Syrians? Because I've seen lists of, I don't know, maybe more than a dozen countries who are meeting here, but doesn't seem like there's that many on the Syrian side, including the Assad side or any of the various jihadist groups that have been fighting against him, except perhaps maybe this one that you're writing about here, this Jaish al-Islam.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can see, the planning for this is supposed to take place on Monday, is right now so up in the air. If I were a betting person, and I'm really not, I would bet money that it will not take place. First of all, as you point out, you have the problem of this this organization that Saudi Arabia helped broker, this high negotiations committee, which is said to represent all of the opposition in Syria. They demand that they're the only opposition group that's allowed to participate in the talks, and they've put forth as their chief negotiator Mohammed Alush, who is the brother of Zafran Alush, who was the head of, as you point out, the head of Jaish al-Islam, or the Army of Islam, which is a group that has fought alongside the Nusra Front, which is al-Qaeda in Syria, has taken part in some massacres of minorities in Syria. But we're told it's okay. The media tells us they backed off of their call for Sharia law last year, so I guess they're okay now. But, you know, Scott, before you had me come on, I was watching a video of the late Zafran, former head of this Army of Islam, who was hit by a Russian airstrike in November, I think, killed. But he made a video before that where he praised al-Qaeda, he praised al-Nusra. So we know what these guys are coming from. These are the guys that the U.S. and the Saudis are putting forth as the sole negotiators for the opposition in Geneva. So it's no wonder that the Russians are saying, are you insane? You know, we're not going to accept this. We need to have at least some other groups, the Kurds, for example, maybe some more moderate opposition. So it looks to me like this is not going to go off. As a matter of fact, Reuters is just reporting that this high council is not going to show up at all. If the Russians don't stop bombing them, I guess it's kind of hurting their feelings.
Man, so they're not even trying to get any other mythical moderate groups represented at all. Just this Jaish al-Islam is supposed to be the umbrella for, I guess, probably not the Islamic State, but for al-Qaeda, Ahrar al-Sham, and the rest of the other groups, or what?
Well, the High Negotiations Committee, excuse me, is the umbrella group. That's what the Saudis put together recently in Riyadh. Mm-hmm. The Jaish al-Islam is essentially the main group underneath that umbrella. They're the primary group underneath that, and their problematic ties are obvious. But, you know, it's basically they've put so much time and effort into it that they want this to be the only group, and I guess this committee feels that they have got the backing of a sufficient backing of foreigners. They're going to say nobody else can show up but us to the negotiating table. It seems unlikely that it'll happen that way. But then again, that great mastermind of State Department public affairs, John Kirby, said yesterday that he's the U.S. is going along with the idea that they should be the only sole negotiating group. So basically, something's got to give. Either the Russians accept al-Qaeda as a negotiating partner, or the U.S. puts some pressure on the Saudis to get these guys to back off.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the thing is, even if you could get both of those things to happen, it kind of remains the fact that, you know, the Assad government or whoever on that side would have to negotiate with al-Qaeda, if not also the Islamic State, because they are the opposition. How the hell are you going to have a peace treaty and exclude the dominant factions of the opposition on the other side? It's like, you know, the Brits want to make a deal with the Swamp Fox, but let the rest of the rebellion continue, you know?
No, absolutely. That's a good analogy. And there, you know, there are moderate factions, and the Russians have been working with him, I think, I've read they have, but these are relatively insignificant factions, you know, the ones that have not taken up arms. There are people that have been in opposition for a long time, but everyone knows that the only effective fighting force against Assad is ISIS and the Nusra and their various allies, you know, the various names. So that really is a question. It's come to a head in a matter of speaking. That it's basically Assad versus the people who want Sharia law and all of the things that go along with it. So this is the case with U.S. foreign policy. When they're backed into a corner, what do? But they double down. And that's why I saw a piece on Zero Hedge this morning that Ashton Carter announced today that the U.S. is going to send in the 101st Airborne to retake Mosul and, more interestingly, Raqqa, the headquarters of ISIS in Syria. So in Carter's mind, the U.S. is going to invade Syria and reinvade Iraq. Very interesting development. I wonder how the Russians feel about this.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but I did see that U.S. troops take over Syria airbase in Syrian Kurdistan here. So I hadn't heard about the 101st Airborne, but that would just be my prediction finally coming true. I'm amazed it took this long, if that's really what's going on now. I mean,
it's sort of a Hail Mary pass, I guess, but talk about adding fuel to the fire or putting a match to fuel. It's hard to imagine anything getting more complicated than if the U.S. sets in the 101st Airborne.
Yeah, here it is. Wow, Stars and Stripes. Carter to the Army's 101st. You will prepare Iraqis to retake Mosul. But yeah, that's not just special forces, man. I don't know how many infantry that includes in total. But, you know, of course, all they can do, even if they can drive ISIS out of power in Mosul, all they do is turn them back into al-Qaeda and Iraq, the insurgency, which is, you know, fought America to a standstill back when we had 166,000 troops in the country.
And there's also the small matter of permission. The U.S. does not have a status of forces agreement with Iraq, so it remains to be seen whether they're going to get permission from the local Kurdistan government, which the U.S. is more and more, at least de facto, treating as a legitimate government in Iraq, but not of Iraq. So how is the U.S. going to get permission to reinvade Iraq? I guess they're not worried about such niceties.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess they just got to call Khamenei and ask him for permission, and just like they always do. Ask the Iraqi National Congress what should be done.
Remember with John Kerry, it wasn't that long ago where he said to the Russians, you don't just invade another country on a false pretext.
Yeah.
You know, but here we are about to invade Syria. We know we already have special forces. The U.S. already has special forces operating on the ground in Syria. But this will be of a much greater magnitude if this is indeed what takes place. And then as Zero Hedge points out, I think great point, okay, so they take Raqqa, then what do they do next? What does the 101st do? Do they just sort of pull out and say, ooh, job well done? Do they move on to Latakia and the rest of Western Syria? And how will the Russians take that?
Right.
Talk about a can of worms.
Well, and, you know, if they're putting troops right now in not just special forces, but building an airbase even in Syria and Kurdistan, they're de facto, you know, creating an autonomous, independent Syrian Kurdistan there, which is, you know, obviously not just problematic for the continuation of the war with Assad, even though I think the Kurdish leadership is on the record as saying maybe they don't want to be ruled by Assad, but they don't want to see him lose Damascus either. But it's also picking a fight with our allies, the Turks, who, of course, are on the side of al-Nusra and I guess ISIS as well, or they have been in the past, and certainly are opposed to any American move to create a new autonomous Syrian Kurdistan there, Rojava, or whatever they call it. So all just future conflict. They're just laying out and with our possibly with our NATO partner there. Because the Kurdish issue is one that they'll fight over, right? I mean, what are they going to do? Give up on the Kurdish issue, the Turks?
I mean, this is the poster child for non-interventionism, isn't it? You know, you get in there and you take sides with one group and you realize, oh, shoot, our NATO allies are slaughtering these people who we're calling allies ourselves. You're absolutely right. The Kurds are absolutely not going to stand for a de facto independent Kurdistan in northern Syria. It's just not going to happen. So how are the brainiacs in the U.S. State Department and Pentagon going to square this circle?
I don't know, man. It's going to be bad, though. Listen, I'll let you go. Thanks very much for doing the show, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, Chuck. That's the great Dan McAdams. You can see why he was Ron Paul's foreign policy advisor for years in his congressional office there, and he now runs the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here. Are you a libertarian and or peacenik? Live in North America? If you want, you can hire me to come and give a speech to your group. I'm good on the terror, war, and intervention, civil liberty stuff, blaming Woodrow Wilson for everything bad in the world, Iran, central banking, political realignment, and, well, you know, everything. I can teach markets to liberals and peace to the right. Just watch me. Check out scotthorton.org/speeches for some examples, and email me scott@scotthorton.org for more information. See you there. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now. Selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com.